Hello and good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. My name is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
My name's Ash Riot.
And we are Hologram, and welcome to our show.
You may have heard of us on www.holo-gram.com, or perhaps you've listened to our show in the past.
Perhaps you have. Perhaps you've Googled us.
Google. That movie was funny.
That was great. Yeah, we just saw that this weekend. Today is the 17th of November. This show is not live. We have pre-recorded it 1 week prior because we're going to be celebrating birthdays.
Yay!
And this show is called Birthdays. Can live with them, can't live without them.
We are celebrating Cheryl's birthday on the 18th.
Of November.
Of November, and that's your tomorrow, birthday, if you're listening to this.
That's right, your birthday was September 26th.
Yes, it was.
We've had birthdays, actually a lot of birthdays in the last few months, celebrating the birthdays of friends and family, yep. Loved ones, no animals.
Lots of birthdays, and happy birthday to my Aunt Trish.
Hey, Trish,
whose birthday is November 19th,
happy birthday,
the day after Cheryl's.
You. Happy birthday, dear Trish. Happy birthday to you. Hopefully you're listening. So once again, this is a pre-record. We're not taking calls this time, but we invite you to check out our next show, which is 2 weeks from tonight on December, is it the 1st?
I think so.
Sunday, December 1st, our friend, the fabulous Annie Kidd, will be joining us. We'll be doing a live interview. So be prepared for that one. It's going to be a wild ride.
It's going to be a good show.
And this is going to be a great show.
Yeah.
So why are we talking about birthdays? Not only because we're indulging the fact that we've recently had them or are having them as we almost speak.
Well, I think that it's important to talk about birthdays because, well, every single person on this planet has one. If they don't, then they are not here. And they have never been born, and we can somehow talk to someone's soul who's never been born. And I don't know how you'd be listening to this, but if you are, that's a miracle.
That's right. You've had a birthday.
Exactly.
If you're listening to this program right now, you are guaranteed 100% that you have indeed had a birthday.
Exactly.
So we celebrate you, too.
Yay!
And I like that, you know, in the blurb that we're talking about the show, we said that the birthday is the beginning of everyone's dash. Do you know that saying?
No.
The dash.
What's a dash?
You look at anybody's tombstone, and it has 1949 to 1999.
Yeah. Well, there, I get
There's
it.
There's a dash in between.
Oh, yeah, I get
and
it.
And the dash in between is all the life that you live.
People think that I am quite slow.
You're not slow.
That's good. Thanks for the vote of confidence there.
You're not slow. You just can't get jokes, but we've already discussed that in past.
I don't know why.
It has no reference to your intellectual capabilities.
I just don't get ghosts. I don't get ghosts. I don't get jokes, people.
Are you thinking of the band Ghost now?
No. But I might later, because I'll probably listen to them later. But anyway, yeah, why don't you tell us a little bit more just about, basically, what your experiences of birthdays have been. Even in the past, since we've started the radio show, I mean, it's been 3 years since we... Has it been 3 years since we started the... Or two?
It'll be 3 years in January.
Wow.
We're almost there. 3 years, regular radio shows.
So you'll have had, tomorrow, I guess, 3 birthdays since we've had the radio show.
Maybe 2. I can't do math right now.
I can't either, but
I'm
anyway.
Not interested in doing math right now, because I don't want to think about that. But, yeah, well, you've had 2 or 3 yourself.
But yours is closer, so let's talk about yours.
Well, I don't know. I think the one thing, I was talking to Ash earlier about birthdays, how interesting it is that when we're younger, I don't know about you folks, but in my experience, when I was younger, I couldn't wait to get older. And my deal was that I wanted to be grown up because I just didn't want to be told what to do anymore. And I'll never forget, like, being a young person and just always, every birthday, thinking, Oh, I want to be older.
Totally.
And now that I'm older, and I'm not necessarily thinking I want to be younger, but it's really challenging to be in a culture that is so youth-obsessed. And
totally.
It's interesting how different, like, we watched the movie Internship on the weekend, and that was hilarious. But the whole, and I recently watched with a friend, I watched, what was that movie? The Grandpa one.
Oh, we watched it. You and I watched that together. Bad Grandpa.
No, no, I'm not talking bad grandpa. Oh,
that was good, by the way.
No, that one I saw with you. No, I'm talking about the other one with Bette Midler and Billy Crystal.
Oh, I never saw that one.
I know, because I didn't see it with you. Oh. I told you that. I saw that with someone else.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, yeah, it was... Oh, I can't remember it now. I hate that. I hate brain farts. That's what happens when you have birthdays and you're getting older.
This is a perfect example, people, of birthdays.
Anyways, it's a recent release. It was 2012, and it was about grandparents that went back to their grandchildren who were so tech savvy, and the grandparents weren't. They're kind of seen as being archaic, you know, out of the loop. And they go back, and in the same premise was in the film that you and I watched together. The recent one was The Internship, where these old farts go to Google and become interns with all the young, you know, hipster kids with the master's degrees by the time they're 19. Just the intellectual, computer savvy geniuses. And what I really enjoyed with both of these movies, first of all, that the filmmakers are addressing the huge gap in terms of technology between generations, because you have a person who's a baby boomer, like Billy Crystal and Bette Midler, they're baby boomers, mm-hmm. and then you have people who are Generation Z, right?
Yep.
I'm Generation X, you're probably Y.
I don't know.
Ask Douglas Copeland, he can tell you. But anyways, just really talking about the differences in terms of how people are seeing themselves, how they relate to each other, how they relate to the world in terms of our technology today,
yeah.
in terms of what we value. Do we value someone who can, you know, get on that computer and do an HTML and figure out all the programming, and or do we value someone who has people skills, who can actually relate to people on a one-to-one level? Like, this is basically what's been coming up, and I found it really interesting because we're talking about birthdays, we're talking about each of us having one, we're talking about each of us are at different levels of our lives, mm-hmm. different stages. Some people are having their 20th birthday, some people are having their 70th birthday. And just the relevance, you know, that 50 years between, how are we relevant to this world and to each other?
Well, I don't know about you, but I get really excited when there's a younger person who has a flip phone. Or, like, something that's not, you know, the
latest. Or an older person with an iPhone 5?
Sure, why not? But I get really excited, like, when we're seeing Mazzie Star in Seattle. On November 4th at the Neptune Theater, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. And there was a younger guy in front of us, and he just had his little basic little, you know, phone that he has to text using the numbers still.
Yeah, I watched him, actually. Yeah, I was quite intrigued by that.
Me too.
Because I thought the same thing. Look at the guy. He's old is he? He's young. He should have one of these, like, super deluxe, fancy contemporary
models. I was
models.
Watching him text.
Were you listening, like, reading what he was saying? Really?
Yeah, well, because he's sitting right in front of me, and the chairs are so close together.
And you were bored?
And I was looking at his phone, no. But it was just, I was like, wow, that's really cool that you have... You didn't buy into the new stuff, and sometimes I wish that I was, like, one of those people, but I really like having the new technology now because I use it for teaching, and even for DJing we do, looking up lyrics and stuff like that.
Well, it's handy, but, I mean, it goes beyond just technology. We're talking about how we're living in our lifetime and what we're exposed to now. You know, people like your generation, you had computers from day one.
Mm-hmm.
And same with my son.
Yeah.
Computers, you know, from day one. And mine, I was in between. I'm not mm-hmm. a boomer, but I was kind of getting it later. I wasn't introduced to computers as a kindergartner. Mm-hmm. It was happening for me later in school years. And then there's people who have never had any, like my mother's generation, my grandparents, even your mom.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, not that she has nothing, because she's, you know, she has enough, but she didn't have it in school.
Yeah, right? That's true.
And so, you know, there's people who are just learning. We're talking about just sort of getting up to speed. Now, I think it's almost, personally, I think it's kind of, you know, my son is up to, he wants the latest gadgets and everything else. I'm kind of comfortable with my comfort zone. So once I learn how something works, I'm pretty content.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not really too interested in learning something new 2 months down the line after I've had one device. And now the latest one comes out 2 months later and mine has become redundant in some way. And I have to learn again. And I don't like reading manuals. I like figuring things out on my own.
Yeah.
So it takes me a bit longer.
Yeah, totally.
Although I do find myself on the internet at times going to forums to
get some help. Oh, yeah, me too. I've done that.
But, yeah, so I don't know. I really enjoyed those movies. If anybody hasn't watched them yet, the one that I can't remember, I'm sure you'll go. You can Parental Google Guidance. It. Parental, yes.
Yeah.
That's right. Parental Guidance. You're awesome.
I know.
You must have been Googling while I was talking.
No, I wasn't. Look, my phone's over there.
Parental Guidance is the name of the film, and the other one is The Internship. And they both address these issues of different generations, different things, bringing different things to the table, and also recognizing and acknowledging how vitally important each is to the other. There are no better things being brought to the table. It's exactly. about balance.
Yep.
And that's where our dash lies. When we're all just kind of clamoring through this life, whether we're joyously clamoring or we're basically just on the ground, just walking across the floor on our hands and knees, there is that sense of just each of us always wanting to find, first of all, where we belong in this world, but also how we just can coexist and what presents itself. And what is it that we choose to focus on and what is it that we need to.
Exactly.
So that's my dash. I'm still working on the dash. How about you?
Working on the dash.
How's the dash going?
It's going really great. I've been happy lately, just going to different concerts. We saw AFI and Mazzy Star, and I'm loving music, and actually, that leads us to our next point. I just want to quickly very graciously and excitedly give you faithful and maybe not so faithful listeners an opportunity to hear one of our songs. So without further ado, here is one of our singles. You can buy them on iTunes for 99 cents.
I am blind for you inside. A million days before the blushing bride, I wait the end of an endless night and watch you sleep with pallor in my eyes. Seamless time will not prevail. All I am and all that's failed. Without within, I am a dead. I peer through windows as you shadow is what I see. I come to you and wish you'd know this visage veil of what had to go. You held my heart within your box. You did prevail, sly as a fox. Enamored well, couldn't let you be. I felt your cells deep inside of me. to go. Now I come not as I was, but as I am, sweet cooing dove. I whisper soft, sweet something's near. My bits of love tangle in your hair. 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 Had to go, just had to go. All I became simply had to go. You won't let go. All I know, all I knew was that I had to go. All I know was that I had to go. All I know is I had to go.
That song was called Had to Go, and that is, I don't even remember what number, maybe our
that's
third single?
Oh yeah, I was going to say, that's the first song we ever wrote together, but
that's not the song that we released first.
I think that's
first.
Fifth.
Is it?
I think so.
And that's obviously an acoustic. I don't know if we've played our acoustic version on this radio program yet. I think that might be a first.
Yeah, I think this is our this is the one you can buy on iTunes. It's 99 cents.
That's what you said. You sound like you're here you go. 99 cents, 99 cents. You can get the song for 99 cents.
Well, hey, you know what? In a world where it's like, you know, you can just go on YouTube and get the MP3s, which by the way, you can. Put them on mixtapes, mix CDs, send them around the world. We have two songs on YouTube, called The Fusion and Spun Sun, available as MP3s on YouTube. Hologram Music is our channel. Check it out if you want to, and just, I don't know, rep the tunes, man.
Rep the tunes. We, we're here on November 17th. We're talking about birthdays. We're talking about the date of our births, all of us, the relevance of birthdays, and rebirth, and everything to do with birth. It's fun. And we're also showcasing some of our music for those of you who haven't heard it. This is a pre-recorded program. Normally we're live, but this time we're celebrating a birthday, so we're...
Yes.
Giving this pre-recorded program.
Hence why we have not given you the call-in numbers.
Henceforth.
Henceforth, you've probably been
waiting
for them.
I like that word. Henceforth.
You know what I have to say about birthdays? It's like, so many people, I was talking to my friend the other day, and he was saying, oh, I don't even want to celebrate birthdays, and it's not that I don't like birthdays, it's just I'm kind of shy, and I don't really want to make, you know, everything all about me, and things like that. Then I have other friends who are like, I'm going to go go-karting, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, then me, old version of me, years ago, I used to celebrate for at least a week.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Why do one night? I had, like, pre-birthday celebrations, actual birthday celebration, and post-birthday celebration.
I think I had birthday and post this year.
Really? Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah.
You did, because I was away. And I came back, and we had our own little birthday time.
Yeah, it was fun.
I was out of town. So you did. You had a birthday celebration and a post.
Yes.
I find that it's more fun to have pre and during.
I agree.
Post is kind of the wind down.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, post is the, okay, let's just
like
have...
it's all, you get all excited about anything, like Christmas. It's the build-up.
Yeah.
Then you have the Christmas day, and then it's kind of, well, I guess you got New Year's coming.
Well, you know, speaking of birthdays, as I was saying before...
Since this is a show
on
birthdays.
But this is a new subject line. I love how sometimes I can get off topic. Sometimes I'm not even off topic, but I think I'm off topic, so I rein myself in, and then I start talking about something completely different. But this time, I want to take the day out of birth and put the word re in front of it.
We're going to talk about rebirth.
Rebirth. Rebirth, to me, is just as important as birthdays, because there's new ways that we can reinvent ourselves all the time, and you know, sometimes it's conscious and sometimes it's not. But sometimes you look back and go, wow, I'm in such a different place. I've really come full circle or had some sort of rebirth.
I agree.
I think birthdays are super spiritual, and so is rebirth.
Well, you know what I was thinking in terms of rebirth? Because I'm also thinking in the religion, the Christian religion. I became a born-again Christian when I was 16 years old. That was a rebirth for me. And I also let go of that, but it was an important part of my life, and it was an important experience. I also celebrate a birthday which is like a sober birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that my friends who are also clean and sober celebrate their clean and sober birthdays. Some of them call them birthdays, and some of them I call them so birthdays. You call them so birthdays.
Yeah, so birthdays. That's the best name ever.
They're kind of like, they're in a way like being able to transform your life by changing what you do is mm-hmm. a rebirth.
Oh, yeah.
So anything that transforms you, whether it's a philosophy that you take on and you feel transformed, or if it's an actual letting go of substances to help you cope with pain and mm-hmm. finding a new way to cope with your pain or to deal with your pain, that's a rebirth.
Oh, yeah.
We talk about rebirth in terms of reincarnation. That's a whole different thing, too, because the Buddhists are very much about rebirth and reincarnation. There's a lot of different doctrines, too, that talk about reincarnation. But that's a separation from this birth. But is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing. If we actually connected to our rebirths, not only in this lifetime, how many times we can rebirth ourselves and become anew, we can also connect to who we've been in the past mm-hmm. and how that is a continuation. How our lives are simply a continuation.
Wow.
Instead of just this little temporary blip.
Wow. That's...
So birth is a big subject.
Well, how in touch are you, listeners, to past lives or, you know, even remembering bits and pieces of them? Because sometimes, now that I'm getting to know more about them, I'm understanding what mine was or what some of mine have been.
Yeah, even in your memory, right?
Yeah, because I've had flashbacks even as a kid of different things, and now I understand them.
Now you understand and know what they meant. But at the time, they felt like a dream.
Yeah.
Or just an imagination, like a daydream. Where does it all come from? I find that perplexing.
Perplexing, yeah.
I think most of us just kind of take everything for granted in terms of it is what it is, and we don't ever question it.
Yeah, I know.
And I think it's really important for each of us to question what our experience of being here is, of being alive.
I agree.
Even our thought process. Question what our thoughts are.
Mm-hmm.
Where do they come from?
Well, exactly, because I think it's really important to give some thought to different experiences that you either dream about or think about. And really, you didn't do them in this life. And what could they be? Well, sometimes they are daydreams, but, I mean, we're so quick to pass them off. Just like saying a kid has imaginary friend or something, when really it's not imaginary friend.
It's an actual spirit.
An actual spirit.
That is speaking to them, and because they're so open, because they haven't been tainted with people telling them lies, which all of us were taught to not believe anything. We're taught to even doubt our own selves and our own imaginations, and we're taught that our imaginations have no merit other than they're there to serve us, to entertain us. But what if the imagination was, in fact, a different kind of reality? And this sounds like I'm going off into this other, like, doo-doo-doo-doo land. But I mean by that is that even your psychic senses, for those of you who are in touch with your six sensory abilities, you understand and know that this is the place that resides in. Our six sensory abilities reside in the same place that our imagination is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just allowing ourselves to understand what is reality versus what is just our thought processes or an imagination with regards to conjuring. For example, what I mean by that is if I'm thinking I'm going to go to the store tomorrow, then in my imagination, I can actually see myself get in the car. I can see and decide which way I'm going to drive to the store. I can decide what I'm going to do en route to the store. Like, I can plan my day. That is where imagination resides.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the same place that I can actually pick up on another person's energy or another person's thoughts.
Yeah.
I can actually even feel and sense. And I'm not the only one here, and I'm sharing this so that you can understand that you probably are getting this too, but you're just not really understanding what it is. You can actually even see other people's memories. And this has happened to me quite a bit, where I will be connected. It's like a connection. And you're seeing through their eyes and inside in the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is even with remote viewing, because Ash and I were talking about remote viewing. And how do I describe remote viewing? I can't. I can't describe to you.
I don't know
what it is or how it's done. I just know that it's done. I know that It's something that I can do. That's something that I've experienced.
But what I've noticed about you is you can also pull previous things. Like, today I went to Taco Del Mar to get us a veggie taco salad and a burrito. And when I get back, she says, the man behind the counter, did he look like this? Did he look like that? Like, that's not really psychic. I think somehow you can go back in your memory. And it's like,
but I'm not going back in my memory. It's like I go back in yours.
It's weird because she described the guy to a T, and I don't know how.
Because I saw him.
You're a creepo.
And this is an aspect of it. This is something that I am not uniquely able to do. This is something that everyone can do. It's just understanding. It's understanding what it is. Understanding what your visions are in terms of what you see internalized. Understanding how you feel when you're around a person. I mean, I pick up things I don't want to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
It's even gotten me in trouble because I'm thinking about a particular incident where I saw something that was not something I wanted to know or have knowledge of, but it's something that I needed to know because it was about keeping people safe. And I shared the information with someone and was basically reamed upside and down the other one. And because I was told that, how dare I read someone without their permission? And that's not what happened at all. It was something that was presented to me and I had no control over it. And it really is. Most of you probably have this feeling. Maybe it's not so obvious in terms of how you see or visualize, but it could be you have your own way of picking up on things or people that are potentially dangerous, people that aren't safe around your children, people that don't have your best interests at heart and, you know, can look totally dapper and fine and clean up really well on the outside. But even the Bible speaks about that, people mm-hmm. that are clean as anything on the outside, but on the inside, like a cup, are dirty beyond, you know, anything you could imagine. So this is what I'm trying to get at. It's, again, it's difficult for me to share this really openly because, of course, nobody wants to be seen as a freak. But the reason why I share all this is not because I'm a freak. It's to let everyone know that there's a certain part of ourselves, and it's each and every one of us. There's a part of us that not everyone's tapped into. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a part of us that each of us needs to understand and value and get more in touch with, because that is a place where you can't be fooled. You can't be fooled by what you see. You can't be fooled by what you're told. It's a place that never fools you because it just is plain, unspeakable, sometimes speakable truths reside there. So I really feel strongly that the only way that each of us are going to metamorphosize, if you want to say that, in terms of transforming the consciousness of the planet, is that we recognize the importance of our own internal abilities and that we can trust them. That we don't have to rely on governments. We don't have to rely on someone else to be our leader or our guru. Not to say they don't have value.
Well, look at the complete baffling, horrid, absolutely backwards way that the band Pussy Riot was treated, just because they actually had the balls to do something.
So this is a band from Russia, for those of you who haven't heard of them. Yoko Ono posted today on Facebook how one of the members has not been seen since October 22nd. She encouraged everyone to sign a petition, which I signed, just stating to the Russian government that it's unacceptable. These are women who are seen as dissidents, I think, by their government. Yeah. And why don't you explain a bit as to why they're being seen as such?
Well, they had this, I don't know exactly the particulars, so I can't really say too much about it. I don't know if you can look it up while I'm talking about a little bit about it, but basically, they had this song, I think, called Punk Prayer or something like that. I don't remember exactly, but anyway, they challenged the Russian government, and actually, I guess, I don't know exactly where they were. You'll probably find out while I'm talking about it, but they were wronged so bad, like, basically treated like absolute, I think they were treated like murderers. I think that they were treated just worse than scum, like, just because they had the balls to be political, especially in Russia, to challenge I guess his name's Putin or something?
That's the Russian president, is he president?
Yeah, I guess so, and basically, they had the balls to be revolutionists.
So what it says on their Facebook page, it's Pussy Riot, A Punk Prayer, which is a movie, a documentary. Mm-hmm. Three young women face 7 years in a Russian prison for a satirical performance in a Moscow cathedral. But who is really on trial in a case that has gripped the nation and the world beyond? Three young artists or the society that they live in? Filmed over the course of 6 months, this film tells the incredible story of three young women, Nadia, Masha, and Katya. As members of the feminist art collective Pussy Riot, they performed a 40-second punk prayer inside Russia's main cathedral. This performance led to their arrest on charges of religious hatred and culminated in a trial that has reverberated around the world and transformed the face of Russian society forever. With unparalleled access and exclusive footage, this film looks at the real people behind their now famous colorful balaclavas. So they were hiding their faces. So this is, what popped up is that I think it's great. Now we know there's a documentary that's about this, but there's one of the girls, one of the women who been missing.
I think Nadia.
She's been missing, and so the Russians haven't disclosed as to where they were transferring her from prison to prison, and the Russians haven't disclosed where she's been transferred to, and the family has, it's in the law that they need to hear from the Russian prison within 10 days, and it appears that the Russians are manipulating that law, and it's or they're felt that they're trying to prove a point. So whatever that point is, it's probably that the government has the absolute say. How dare you question your government? But this is exactly what we all need to do. John Lennon talked about it. I mean, all of the great artists talked about being revolutionaries. It's not about being dissidents and anarchists to you know, create hate with hate and fight crime with crime. It's none of that. It's just calling bullshit what it is. If you see something, and Gandhi, I actually posted something recently that Gandhi said about, if you see anything that's evil in terms of, like, whether it's a government or any kind of a system, and you see it as evil as a spiritual person, it's essential that you don't adhere to it. So I think this is what, you know, they are artists, obviously, they're women, which is great because they're probably feminists in a country that doesn't say feminism is a cool thing. And so, you know, they're kind of, it's the truly great people that create the most unrest, and eventually people see it for what it is. And I think that this is a really great thing that has happened. However, I'm sincerely concerned for the women. I feel that they're being mistreated. There's what I read today is there's talks of them being, you know, hurt and threatened. And the one who's missing, I don't know if it's Nadia, I won't say, I didn't see, I'm not looking it up right now, but the one who's missing has also, she was undergoing a hunger strike because she was resisting what was being done to her and said that it was unkind and cruel and unwarranted, which the world is saying for the most part is true. So what do you do when you have someone, you know, this is where we can be grateful for social media, because of social media, it's all of a sudden news. And once it's news, the world knows, and the world can say, hey, you know, we can cry out and say, this is not okay. Sign our petitions like I did today. And hopefully, you know, the government will concede.
Exactly. Because I mean, this does belong on our birthday show talking about this, because we need a rebirth so badly in order to live, I think, as a society, because, you know, even
as a world,
because even what I was showing you today, like looking on different sites that they're talking about, you know, all the members of Pussy Riot and people just basically being the worst kind of woman-hating, chauvinistic, just absolutely horrible people, I'll say, just over this. Like, they cannot honor that somebody is a revolutionist. They can't honor that somebody has the balls to do something.
Well, it's not only the balls to do something, it's the balls to tell the truth about something.
Exactly.
And there's nothing wrong. Like, it's about artistic freedom, and so they went into a cathedral and they performed something that maybe wasn't seen as a regular Catholic ritual. But yet, what is wrong with saying, just because this church is this particular kind of church, why can't we, as a person inside the church, still honor the deity, but in our way? And so I think this is where the main problem was, is that is that they were seen as being irreverent or whatnot. And you know, where's the church and state separation there? Probably not very far.
I know, that whole thing just gets me so mad.
Well, it gets anyone mad who wants to see that this is a just world, who wants to believe that we can trust our leaders and our governments. And, you know, I had a friend who passed a couple of years ago, and he was a conspiracy theorist. And I remember I used to just kind of, you know, I would nod yes and listen to the things he would have to say. And then in the back of my mind, I'm going, oh, well, this isn't, you know, this isn't really true, or this isn't so relevant, or, you know, I didn't, until he passed and actually thought about what he was saying and thought about the passion that he had behind it, recognize that, why am I so complacent? Why is it that I'd rather not talk about these things? Why am I uncomfortable about them? Why am I so quick to dismiss? Just mm-hmm. like me sharing about my ability to remote view, and I'm not alone. I know there's a lot of people personally that can do that, but most people won't say it. It's kind of like outing yourself and then people going, wow, what's wrong with you? Or that's impossible. And so this is what we're all trying to bring, is the possible back to all people. And this is what Pussy Riot's trying to do. They're trying to bring to their culture, mm-hmm. which is different than our own, just this new understanding and this new way of seeing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's not based in anything. They weren't being violent. They weren't being volatile or vile. They were just expressing themselves, and they've created a stir. But all the great visionaries, that's what has happened. You know?
I just hope that they are free of all this soon.
Well, so do I. I mean, my heart really does hurt for them, because I get a sense of connection with them. I feel that connection. Most of us can feel connection when we see a photograph of someone being abused, or, you know, an animal, a person. When you are from that place of understanding the oneness that we all have and the uniqueness that we all are, yet we're still not so unique in that we are connected.
Yeah.
We can feel it. It's like an instant connection. It's almost like being in that particular person's body or in their psyche and just getting a sense of it. I just hope that everybody who's listening identifies with that, because that means that you are connected. But if there is a sense of disassociation, then there is something that is hindering that knowledge, that mm-hmm. awareness, that truth. Yeah. And this is what I think globally it's essential, that we remove that. And it's not that we lose ourselves. I think that's people's greatest fear, is that if they recognize the connectedness and the power of love and how important it is to love and how vital it is for each of us to thrive together in order to, you know, and trust ourselves first. We don't have to trust a religion or trust another person to tell us truths. We can listen to all and then discern for ourselves. Have that basic self-trust. Mm-hmm. Takes us to the next level. It's not about losing yourself, it's about embracing yourself. And I think most people see it as a loss.
Well, exactly, because that's why I think a lot of, even, let's just use the term Christian very loosely, like any very
because of
strong...
our, and we use that because of our background.
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
Both of us come from a Christian background, so we feel quite confident
exactly.
to say this, right?
And I went to Christian school, so, I mean, let's just say that a lot of what I've noticed is a lot of very religious, like quite sternly religious people, can't really come over to your side, like if you're opposing, or if you're just, you know, very free-spirited, non-religious, more secular. They won't really come over to your side very easily, because they think that that entails giving up their absolute devotion to God.
Well, they think they're being led down the garden path by the demon, devil, mm-hmm. and that you are just basically from the devil, and so you're discluded mm-hmm. right away, because you're dismissed as being
exactly.
evil.
And not all of them are even,
and they're not going to be saved.
Them, just some of them. Some people can really be like that. I've found that, like,
but
so
it's all
much.
Based in fear, because uh-huh. you know, this is one thing I've learned. I'm having a birthday soon. I've been on this earth a bit of time. I feel very confident that I'm still learning. I am not stepping into saying, well, a lot. How many people would say that? I think a lot of people feel I've learned all I need to. I'm staying stoic. This is who I am. I am this kind of political party. I am this religious group. I am this sex. Therefore, I have these certain things based on my gender that I'm supposed to be. You know, how many of us just sort of set ourselves up in our own little prison, this box that we've said, this is who we are, yet we're so much more. And I think this is vital, you know, just even for growth, for experiencing this life, is recognizing that, let all that go. Mm-hmm. You know, even take a look at, like, renew your own faith values, renew mm-hmm. your own sense of belief systems, kind of do a personal check-in and go, do I believe that anymore? Does that feel right? Does that resonate? And be able to flourish in terms of expansion, rather than being afraid of change or saying, this is who I am, I will never change. Or, yes, I have decided that this doctrine is the only true doctrine, therefore I'm going to go to my grave hanging on to it. Mm-hmm. And then once you passed away, you have new things revealed to you, and you're going, oh, shit. It's not like we make mistakes, though. It's more just, I didn't have to do it that way. I could have been a little freer. I could have been a little more open-minded. I could have been a little more kind and tolerant and accepting, and understand and see that everyone just has a shell. There is no difference between each and every one of us other than our shells. But most of us are locked into the shell. Mm-hmm. We only see with our eyes, and we've decided that, well, you're a man and you're this age, so therefore you're going to be this kind of person, or you're a woman and you're this gen, you know, you're this race, or so you're there, you know, you're a Russian woman, therefore this is how you are. I don't know. Like, I think, again, like, we just tend to, I'm just throwing it out there, but we tend to be a little consumed by our own fear, so mm-hmm. that we want to have that kind of control over the world in terms of how we view it. Mm-hmm. But there is no freedom in that.
I know.
We think there is, but that's not freedom. That's not true freedom. So on this birthday, I'm just, again, I used to, as a young person, I thought I knew it all. I thought I knew where I was going. I had a good sense of myself. And then as I grew and as I learned more about life, I recognized that it's okay not to know. Mm-hmm. It's okay not to know. And it's also okay to be afraid when you don't know. It's just allowing everything to sort of pass through you. It's about being open-minded.
I agree. I think the most important thing is to not set yourself up for, not failure, I don't mean anything like that, but it's not, every year I try and learn something, and then I, once the year is done, try and look back. I mean, that's just natural progression. That's how we are as humans. We look back, and after any milestone, whether it's just a birthday, whether it's, you know, a season or something, and see what happened, what we've learned and everything. And I think that as I've gotten older, one of the biggest lessons I've learned is to not set myself, and I don't think other people should either, up with expectations. I think that there are certain standards that every person has personally, that, of course, you know, like me, I'm not going to, you know, do drugs, or I'm not going to drink, stuff like that.
Well, that's your choice. That's today.
Exactly.
It wasn't your choice
exactly
10 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, there's unrealistic expectations that I've even seen some of my friends set up for themselves. Like, oh yeah, I'm going to win the lottery this year, and I'm going to get accepted to this place and do this. And I'm like, well, you know what? Don't put that much pressure on you to have that happen in 1 year. Work towards that. But
how do you work towards winning the lottery, though?
Who knows?
Buy a lot of lottery tickets?
I guess.
Get poor doing that?
Yeah, go, exactly.
That's counterproductive.
Exactly, right? But I really hope that you, Cheryl, have a great birthday tomorrow.
Thank you.
And
I know I will have a wonderful birthday. I'm being okay with it. It's just, you know, birthdays, I think they lose, they're things to be celebrated, but they change, the meaning of them changes, I think. And
I agree.
So, yeah, celebrating our births, celebrating that we're here, celebrating our rebirths. Understanding that we each have merit and value, connecting with ourselves and each other, and in how we are in relationship to this planet. That's all that we are doing. And Ash and I, as artists, as musicians, as even artists, I'm, you know, visual art, all the art that we, you know, writing, everything that we create is all just wanting to connect. Ultimately, all art and all creation is our wanting to connect, our wanting to connect to the higher power that is source energy, whether that's creator, God, whatever you want to call it. It's also connecting to our fellow human beings, being able to say, hey, here's a song. how does it make you feel? Do you understand what it is that I was feeling or that I'm trying to convey or I'm trying to share with you? Here's a picture I've painted. What do you see in it? Do you understand where I was? Do you connect with that?
And that's really important. And I mean, they're going to get a chance to hear I'm Back in a couple minutes.
Cool.
Our song I'm Back, which is quite a change from the
Our latest single.
But I mean, that's one of the most important things when you can put out something that says, this is powerful because it's something I felt or I'm feeling, and maybe you can feel the same.
Yeah, because we are ultimately connected. And so this is, the more we share, that's what I found and what I learned too, is the more I share truthfully and honestly, the more people are basically given permission, each of us, to be who they are.
Exactly.
And that's all we're asking.
Mm-hmm.
Is just for ourselves to be okay with who we are. For that has to happen first. We have to be okay personally with ourselves. That's first and foremost, and not too concerned about how others perceive us. But then we also want that connection to others.
Yeah.
Our tribes.
You're a part of the tribe, man.
Welcome to the Hologram Tribe.
And thank you for listening to our radio show.
Yeah.
It's a pre-record. We're going to be back live. We got some really good shows coming up with Annie Kidd. We got one with, on
December 29th. We have two interviews coming up. We have the Annie Kidd interview, which is our next show on December 1st, the live interview with Annie Kidd. Check her out on Wikipedia if you want to know more about her, or check on our page. We've got links to her on the hologram-gram.com.
Yeah, check
page.
It out there.
And also we have Maya Britan and Tamid Milan coming on. They're producers of a fabulous new metaphysical show called The Game of One. And Maya is a psychic and also a beautiful artist. She's done some really great art. And one thing she's done was about 10 years ago, she created the One Tarot cards. And this is what this film is based on. It's really just talking about what we're talking about. We're excited to talk about them because
they're
all about the One. And so we can, you know, explore this even further about how we are truly connected, what the value of the tarot deck is. It was never meant to be used for anything other than light and recognizing and helping us to remember how connected we are. So we're excited to talk to them about this film, about you know, a little bit about Maya's work, and Annie, of course. So we've got some really great shows coming up.
Yeah, make sure to keep your calendars open, friends.
Yeah, and keep checking and seeing what we're doing. Check on our website.
And yeah, lots more music coming up for you guys to hear in the future. We're working hard. We actually got to jam for the first time in a while.
Yeah, we've been so busy. Finally, I mean, that's my life's blood. I sure miss music. It's like an ache.
Well, we will satiate that, and
we'll satiate our aches, and I hope you guys do the same.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to our show on birth, rebirth, birthdays. We got to have them. They're wonderful things. Celebrate yourself. Kiss a tree.
Kiss a tree. We love you, and happy birthday, Cheryl.
Thank you. Bye for now.
Bye for now.
If life's a highway, I'll pass you like grass. In my dusty trail of your regrets, you see I'm far from easily done yet. A break above my energy scorn. Your smile hides the depth of forlorn. I left you in the biggest of ways. I'm shot to the head, yet hardly decay. I'm back, I'm back, I'm back, I'm back. Cut you off, God. Cut you off. Appropriate for me today, but the servant, it's time to move on.